B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
All right, 3:30. Mike Missinelli Show. Let's do a Twitter poll update. We'll get to Tim McManus and find out whether how much of an edge the Eagles have in this game. They are a 4.5-point favorite. The Twitter poll is brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Natalie?
Alrighty, Mike. Over 1,200 votes on this one so far. Why do you think Alshon still isn't playing? 22% say he's still hurt. 78% they say that he doesn't want to play.
No. People are down on Alshon.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some people that will play. And to find out exactly who the Eagles will have and what their strategy may be, let's talk to the man who covers the Eagles for ESPN.com. He joins us with the Eagles midweek report on the Comcast Business Hotline. He's the great Tim McManus. Hello, Timmy.
Hello, Mike. What's going on?
All right, Tim, what's the final word on who's playing and who's not in this game?
I got some people going, some people coming. And the ones that are coming are DeSean Jackson and Lane Johnson. Those are the two notable names that Doug Peterson said today are on track to be available for tomorrow night's game against the Giants. You get that deep threat with that, with DeSean coming back. And with Lane Johnson, they could obviously use as much stability along the offensive front as they can get. And they also are getting another starter back on defense. Avante Maddox is expected to be back in that lineup opposite of Darius Slay. As far as the guys that aren't going to be available, the ones that got hurt last week, tight end Zach Ertz is expected to miss 3+ weeks. He could be headed to IR here pretty soon. Miles Sanders not going to be available because of a knee injury, and Malik Jackson because of a quad. So, you know, just as some guys are getting healthy, other guys are hitting the shelf.
All right, let's look at the good and the bad in this game. Now, the good is they're getting some people back. The good is that they have now zoomed ahead in the ESPN Power Index to win the division. They are the favorite now, which is hard to believe coming off a loss, but they are. So, What are they right now as a team, and are they worthy of a division-winning team?
No. I mean, they're not worthy of a division-winning team. They're playing in the second-worst division like since the NFL merger in 1970, statistically. That's why they're relevant. And you know, before that Dallas game, I was looking at the stats, and they have at least as of before that game, it was a 41% chance of making the playoffs, and they had a 42% chance of getting a top 10 pick. I mean, I think that's about all you need to know about where this team is and how bad the NFC East is, where you have an equal amount of chance of winning the division as being in the top 10, and they have the 12th best chance of getting the number one overall pick in the entire draft. So, no, I don't think they're worthy, but, you know, they're obviously going to have a shot just by default.
Yeah, they are going to have a shot. All right, so it starts with a must-win here. I mean, they can't lose this game to the Giants or all kinds of numbers go crazy and skewed. So let's look at what they're up against here. Now, on offense, the Giants can't run the football, and they have a quarterback who's 31st in the league in passing, which is maybe helped a little bit by the fact that Sterling Shepard may be back in this game. So the edge, obviously, is that the Eagles can probably stop this team, right?
Yes, you would think so. But can they turn them over? I think that's really the big question for me, Mike, because the Eagles are 27th in the NFL in takeaways with just 5 of them. And they have lost the turnover battle in 5 of the 6 games that they have played. Knowing the importance of that stat, it shouldn't be a surprise to anybody that they only have 1 win. Meanwhile, the Giants are givers when it comes to turning the ball over. They are tied for 4th with 10 giveaways this season. And so that boils down right to me that, you know, can they actually get right and get those takeaways and generate, off of Daniel Jones, who has had his share of struggles? That's a big key for me.
All right. Now, on defense, the Giants stop the run, and the Eagles are weaker there because they're going to have to rely on Boston Scott and Corey Clement and whoever else they're going to throw in there. The Giants also get some sacks, and the quarterback for the Eagles has been hit a lot, 18 times, including the sacks on his 46 dropbacks. What do we expect? Is he going to have to run the ball a lot more in this game? Carson Wentz, I'm talking about.
Yeah, well, he's going to have to get out onto the move. I think the fact that Johnson is back, assuming that he is a shell of himself, and we've seen Johnson come and go from the lineup, and the same thing applies to DeSean Jackson, right? Like, these guys are coming back, but for how long is probably the appropriate question when it comes to both of those guys. But assuming that Johnson comes back, that does help stabilize the front. That said, we know the kind of state that this offensive line is in. We saw the game against Cincinnati and saw how much Joe Burrow gets clobbered. And yet Carson Wentz has been sacked more times than Joe Burrow, the most in the NFL, 25 times compared to 24 times for Burrow. And as you say, they can't rely on a Miles Sanders in this game. Can Boston Scott have the type of performance that he did last year against the Giants, where he actually won NFC Offensive Player of the Week? Can he have that similar type of success? And if the answer is yes, that alleviates a lot of pressure off of Wentz. If not, they're going to have to get creative, and that means getting Wentz out on the move.
All right. You know, he's been reluctant to do that a lot, to get him on the move. I can't figure out this coach from game to game on what he thinks works and what he doesn't work according to what the other team presents. So, I guess I'm asking you, is he forward enough thinking that he will take advantage of that type of game plan?
I think one question we have to ask ourselves is, how is Wentz physically coming off of that beating against Baltimore? I mean, Doug Peterson mentioned twice to us, which is pretty unusual, that both he and Jason Kelce exited that game banged up. Wentz says that he's fine, but also says that he's been trying to, yesterday, he said he's been willing his body to think that it's Friday when it's not. There's a lot of mental games and a lot of behind-the-scenes kind of rehab that's going on to get all of these guys right. But Wentz took a beating, so what will he look like physically when he gets out onto the field? You're right. I mean, I think that it's been inconsistent the way that this offense has been deployed this year. One thing with Jackson back in the equation is we know that Wentz likes to air it out. So I do think that they'll try to get him on the move where they can, and I also think they'll be taking some deep shots. He's been showing confidence and letting Travis Fulgham go out and get it. We've seen him do that with DeSean Jackson as well, and so you know, it wouldn't be surprising, assuming that Wentz has the time, if he loads up and tries to get some big plays down the field.
All right, I like that. I mean, I'd like to see that. And I know fans would like to see that as well. Maybe bust it open with a long ball and put the other team on their heels.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Let me ask you about the trading deadline, which is coming up, and we have various opinions on this, that you know, they would add a marginal like offensive lineman or a linebacker, or they can go and trade a very marketable player, and the marketable player is the tight end, although not now with Goddard. What do they think a trade deadline was?
Yeah, I would probably put them more towards sellers than buyers. I mean, all of these things come with the caveats, like what is actually offered, does it make sense for the Eagles both now and for the long term, that could put them into a buyer mode. As one person opined to me just like an hour ago, Mike, if they lose this game, then Howie Roseman's probably going to try to sell everything that's not bolted down. So what happens over this game in the next 2 weeks helps determine the flow. But I mean, you mentioned Zach Ertz, and I think that they have at least put the public writing on the wall that they're not interested in him long term. The question is, what's his market value right now? Because he's got a high ankle sprain that's supposed to keep him out for at least 3 weeks, is my understanding. And so what is a team going to pony up for his services? I think that's really the question. So it complicates things a little bit. If the right thing comes along, would I be surprised if they moved Ertz? No. I mean, they've been saying through their actions that they're not committed to this guy, that they're not going to give him the type of contract that he wants. So I wouldn't be surprised if it happens. But I think that I don't know that I would consider it likely either, especially when you throw in the whole injury complication here.
Gotcha. Who else would be on that list that they would sell and get anything?
I mean, could you convince somebody, like if Alshon Jeffrey gets over this Liz Frank and now it's a calf injury that's also keeping him out of this game, if he can get on the field against the Cowboys and show out? Could you convince a wide receiver needy team to take him if you were to eat some of his contract? I mean, those are the types of guys that you're talking about. But once you get past kind of those two players, it's hard to identify other guys because of the necessity, given the injuries, of just having bodies on the field. You know, defensive backfield, I don't know who else they could move on from. You know, linebackers, certainly they're not going to be, you know, nobody wants their linebackers anyway. Defensive line, is there an extra body in there? Maybe. But there's just not a whole lot else to pick from in terms of them being on a seller's foot. But
what about, you know, Graham?
Jeffrey makes sense.
What about Graham?
I guess I see where you're coming from, because there's a chance that he's not back next year and you'd be selling high because he's having a really good start. I haven't heard anything, kind of anything solid on that, but and I would lean towards no there, but I certainly see where the logic is.
All right, last question. I know Phipp was praising the kicker. He has no problem. When people say that, they usually do have a problem. Are you hearing anything, any whispers that they maybe have somebody on ice that he continues to struggle from deep, which he was advertised that he would be a good deep kicker, that they would make a move there?
I haven't heard anything that they're getting ready to move on from him. If the struggles were to continue, maybe that can change. I think maybe more realistic, if he doesn't have a good 2020, then maybe he's got some competition in 2021. But as you said, Dave Phipp, put his vote of confidence behind him, and at least for now, I think they're sticking with him.
All right. Sounds good. You liking the win tomorrow?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah, I mean, okay. nothing's a guarantee with this team.
Yeah, okay. But you're feeling on the W side more than the L.
Yeah, I'm picking the Birds. Right now, I just had to do an exercise, Mike, where I had to pick the rest of the schedule. And I had them winning every division game and losing every out-of-division game for a grand finish of 6-9-1. So
does that win a division?
Under that exercise, it did not, because my counterpart in Dallas had the Cowboys having 7 wins.
Okay.
We'll see.
All right, we shall see. Timmy, great stuff. We'll talk to you.
All right, Mike.
Yeah, it's Tim McManus on the Comcast Business Hotline, covering the Eagles for ESPN.com. All right, well, there you go. Midweek report. How do you feel after hearing Tim?
I feel the same. It's a narrow scope. Mm-hmm. They can win. I still think they can win this division. I don't think they can win any other division, and I don't think they're good, but I still think they can win this division.
At 6-9-1.
I still think
they got 7.
Yeah, because I think they can either beat Arizona or Cleveland to get there.
Okay.
So they have one. You win the other division games. That's what, 2 against the Giants, 2 against the Cowboys, 1 against Washington. So that's 6.
Mm-hmm.
And then you win either against Cleveland or Arizona at 7 wins.
Okay.
So 7-8-1.
One of those games. Tim's got them losing all of those games.
Yeah, I don't have them losing all. And I still think the Saints stink. So that's also still my lock of the year.
Down on the Saints.
So it's,
you know, I think I may have to back the Saints in that selection. I'm going to try. You gave me a lift. We gained the game on Brian Westbrook.
Yeah.
And I think that the Saints are going to be in my little.
For this week.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I think when the time comes, though, the Eagles can beat Cleveland, the Saints, or Arizona. And that gets them to 7, and 7-8-1 over 7-9 Dallas gets them in.
All right. By the way, I'm really, it's taking all my strength not to play Indiana this weekend against Penn State.
The line is screaming that way.
The line went down.
What did it go down to?
It's now 6.5.
Yeah. That's Indiana. I think that they cover and Penn State wins by like a field goal. That's where I'm at.
I'm thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
But I don't have the heart to put in the pack.
No, you can't.
I can't do it. All right. 610-622-0975. We're back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.